last session of Tech Ed. Today I'm talking about the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit 2012. What's new in that version that will be out in the coming months? In this session, we want to review the new functionality that will be in MDT 2012. First up, we want to talk about just at the high level how this is tied into the System Center Wave. So the initial main functionality that we're looking to add in MDT 2012 is to add support for Configuration Manager 2012. That includes supporting all the new features in Config Manager 2012, including the new application model, some additional task sequence capabilities, and from our perspective at least, the new console that's actually being provided with Config Manager. We need to make sure that all the extensions that MDT provides today on top of Config Manager 2007 continue to work on top of Config Manager 2012. But in addition to the functionality that we're adding for Config Manager 2012, we also want to make sure that we add some capabilities and features for all scenarios, whether that's light touch without System Center Configuration Manager, zero touch installation, or user-driven installation. We want to make sure that there are new features provided for everyone who's using MDT today. At the same time, we know that there's a new version of Windows coming. It's all been disclosed. Windows 8's out there and will be approaching new milestones over the coming months. So we wanted to make sure in MDT 2012 that we have the foundational work done in order to support that new version of Windows. So we'll take a look at that later in the session to see just exactly what does that look like and what does that mean from a deployment perspective. From a timeline perspective, MDT 2012 Beta 1 was released a few months back. MDT 2012 Beta 2 is due out any day now. With any luck, by the end of this week, we'll have it available on the Connect website for everyone to download and begin testing the Beta 2 functionality. We expect the release candidate in the January timeframe, January, February, somewhere in that timeframe, with the final release of MDT 2012 coming shortly after the Configuration Manager 2012 release. Since we are dependent on that release date, we had to wait for that release to happen. Now, as far as the exact time frame for that release, the Configuration Manager team has said that that will happen in the first half of 2012. So don't assume that it's going to happen right at that point in the timeline that's on the actual diagram, but it will happen sometime in that six-month window. So we just picked a date in the middle and said, well, it's probably going to happen somewhere around there. So whenever that date ends up being, we will be releasing MDT 2012 at the same time. From the perspective of Config Manager 2012, the main changes that they've made in Config Manager 2012 that affect OS deployment are the new application model, which involves being able to install applications and have Config Manager manage the dependencies and detection mechanisms. And they put a lot more work into this new application model to provide a lot more flexibility when it comes to software distribution. Because in a lot of cases, you want to install software as part of a task sequence to deploy an operating system, those changes then affect the OS deployment process as well. We need to integrate with the new console. We'll take a look at what that integration looks like and what that new console looks like, because they've completely rewritten it for Config Manager 2012. And there are some other minor changes that we needed to make to support changes that have been put into Config Manager 2012. But for the most part, the main focus with Config Manager 2012 isn't OS deployment. It's software distribution, hierarchy changes, desired configuration changes, other areas outside of OS deployment. So from an OS deployment perspective, there's a lot of similarities between Config Manager 2007 and Config Manager 2012. So let's look at what that looks like. In the new Configuration Manager 2012 console, there is a software library that then includes an operating systems node with drivers, packages, OS images, OS installers, boot images, and task sequences. In this case, the MDT integration is hooked to the task sequences node, where we could say we want to create a new task sequence using MDT, and then walk through the same type of wizard that you would have seen with Config Manager 2007. We have the same basic task sequences that we had in the past, so I could choose to create a client task sequence or perhaps a user-driven installation task sequence if we wanted more of a wizard-driven experience, and then walk through the wizard and create the necessary additional packages that might be required. So I could specify a task sequence name, whether to join a workgroup or a domain, whether I want to capture an image with this one, and then just fill in the different packages that are needed to do this deployment. If I hadn't done this wizard before, I would need to create a package for each one of these options as we go along through the wizard, but since I've done this, I can just choose the existing packages that I already have. So I can choose the MDT toolkit files, the OS install package that I need, the Config Manager client package, the USMT package, and finally a settings package that contains the nitn.xml, custom settings.ini, and any other configuration files that may be required to install the particular operating system. At that point, if we click Next, we'll create the task sequence associated with all the packages that we chose, and then we can deploy the task sequence just by right-clicking on it, choosing Deploy, selecting a collection of machines, maybe all systems, as an available task sequence, make it available to boot media and Pixie, and take all the rest of the defaults. And now we have a new task sequence. So that's the type of integration that we had with Config Manager 2007. It's the same integration with 2012. There are some subtle differences in that wizard that you might not notice going through it initially, but just a few minor tweaks here and there to make that work. Now, to take the user-driven installation task sequence, we want to look at that one a little bit further and explore the changes that were made to the wizard. So if we look at a client computer, I'm now running a Configuration Manager 2012 task sequence. That's built from MDT using the user-driven installation template, which presents a wizard at the beginning of the task sequence. This is a new version of the wizard that will be in MDT 2012 Beta 2. It also includes some new capabilities as we go through, like being able to enable BitLocker. Of course, I don't want to do that in a virtual machine. I can choose whether I want to migrate any user state. In this case, I don't have a valid Windows directory on the machine already, so I can check to format and partition the disk. If I wanted to restore user data from another computer, we've added in the ability to specify a USB drive or a network path where that user state might reside. In this case, I'm going to say I don't have any user state. We run a variety of validations to make sure that the deployment's ready to go. You can then specify the computer name, and optionally a domain, an organizational unit, or a work group. The local administrator password to put on the machine. Any accounts that need to be added to the administrator's group. And since we want to tie into the new software distribution model, the new user-driven affinity where you can specify a primary user for each computer in Config Manager 2012, we'll ask you, what primary user would you like to set on this machine? So maybe this one belongs to me. I can specify my user ID in this particular field, and that will cause Config Manager to automatically associate this computer to me, so that if there's any software that targets me as a user, before I even log on to the computer for the first time, it will know who this machine belongs to and automatically install that software. So you don't have to wait after that first login to make sure that the software that you need is installed. I can specify language settings, time zone settings. Here, choose any applications that I want to install as part of the OS deployment task sequence. That can be packages and programs from Config Manager 2007 or 2012, or it could also be the new applications that you would define in the Config Manager 2012 app model. At that point, I've specified all the needed details, I click Finish, and the rest of the Config Manager task sequence then runs to do whatever operations I specified in the wizard. Now on the server side, to go along with that new UDI wizard experience, there's also a new UDI wizard designer. Which is used to customize what that wizard actually displays. So you could go in and pre-configure the list of domains, the list of OUs, the administrator members that you want displayed. Any details about the wizard itself can be configured fairly easily just by navigating to the package that contains the configuration file, which would be in the MDT Toolkit Files Scripts folder, called UDI Wizard Config by default. We then define multiple scenarios that we support inside of the wizard, like new computer, and then lay out the different wizard panes that need to be displayed during that wizard. We also have added new scenarios for refresh and also for replace to specify if you're replacing a computer, here are the screens that you should display to capture the user state off to a network location. We can configure the BitLocker page, we can configure the application page, so each of the pages in that particular wizard can be customized using this designer. When we're done making our customizations, we can save that, push it out to the distribution points, and then that becomes the new configuration to be used for all the subsequent deployments. In addition to that, we've provided some additional infrastructure enhancements that are already present in MDT 2012 Beta 1, including the ability to deploy to a VHD. Windows 7 has supported boot from VHD since it was released, but we didn't provide a simple way to do that from a task sequence. So we included a new task sequence template to make that easy. We've also added support for a couple of new operating systems, including Windows Thin PC and Windows POS Ready 7. So you can make use of those fairly easily in MDT 2012. We've added the ability to do cross-platform deployment. So if you have an x86 boot image, you can still use that to deploy an x64 OS. You don't have to do an x64 OS from an x64 boot image and an x86 OS from an x86 boot image. So we've simplified that. We've improved the Light Touch Wizard look and feel just to give it a little bit more prettiness. We've added support for UEFI machines. So if you're moving to computers that have the replacement for the standard BIOS that computers have had for a long time, that's available in MDT 2012, and at the same time, we also support the new 4K disks that are present in most new laptops being shipped today. We've added some behind-the-scenes improvements to the partitioning and user state migration process, just to make sure that regardless of the configuration of the computer that you're trying to deploy to, we should be able to figure out how to do the right thing. So if you have Windows XP on a single partition, we'll make sure that when we deploy, we'll put the new operating system, probably Windows 7, on that same partition. If you have two partitions, we'll figure out where the OS is today and assume that the new OS should be the pulse that's been configured on the machine. We had originally thought about removing support for Windows XP and Server 2003 in MDT 2012, but based on the feedback that we got from various customers and partners, they wanted us to leave that in. So MDT 2012 will still continue to support deploying Windows XP and Server 2003. Now we are within the last 900 and something days of Windows XP support, so we expect people to be moving to Windows 7, just because if you need to deploy Windows 7 into your environment, it's usually a fairly long project to get all of those computers deployed, and you're quickly running out of time before that end of support date for Windows XP. We didn't want to remove XP support to force you to have to deal with, say, MDT 2010 for Windows XP deployment and MDT 2012 for Windows 7 with all the new capabilities that we've added, so it was easy for us to say, we'll just continue to support Windows XP as long as Windows XP itself continues to be supported. We also don't expect everyone to move to Configuration Manager 2012 overnight, so it's important for us to continue to support Configuration Manager 2007 at the same time. There were some task sequence templates that we used in Config Manager 2007 to support an OEM deployment scenario where you could build a task sequence that could be staged onto a hard drive. You could then send an image of that hard drive to a PC manufacturer for them to put that on all the hard drives. That scenario has actually been replaced by what was built into Config Manager 2007 R3. So as a result, because that R3 task sequence works so much better, we've removed those templates from MDT 2012. They really don't have a purpose anymore. So if we look at the MDT 2012 light touch experience, we've enhanced the wizards to give them a slightly better look and feel, we hope. From here, we can say we want to do a new OS deployment. We've also integrated in the Dart tools, which we'll talk about a little later. We've made sure that when we're doing longer running tasks that we display progress dialog so that you know what we're up to. As soon as that completes, the main wizard will launch where we can go through and make the necessary choices for the OS that we want to deploy. So maybe in this case I want to deploy Windows Thin PC. I can choose the task sequence to deploy that. Based on the choice that I've made, different wizard panes will show up to select what options need to be done in this task sequence. So in this case, I'll say I don't want to restore any user state. I can configure the locale and time zone. And at that point, I'm ready to deploy. So when I click begin, the task sequence from that point takes off and really doesn't look too much different than what you had seen before, except you will see in lots of places anything that's time consuming will display additional progress information so that you can keep track of what's going on. There are some bugs in MDT 2012 Beta 1. Probably not a big surprise. It's Microsoft software. Yeah, it has bugs in it. The issues that we've listed here are some of the common ones that people have run into with Beta 1. All of those will be fixed in Beta 2. I'm sure we'll find some new ones to take their place. But the types of issues that people have run into, if you tried to upgrade an MDT 2010 task or deployment share to MDT 2012, we would end up removing all the folder structures from your deployment share. If you haven't arranged your content into folders, you probably wouldn't even notice, but if you have, you'll probably panic a little bit after going through that upgrade. There are a couple of workarounds documented on the Connect website that tell you how to get out of this situation, but we will take care of that in Beta 2. We had some issues with configuring static IP addresses. We just didn't do that configuration in the right place in the wizard flow, so there wasn't a good way to configure static IP. We fixed that. We tried to make improvements into the logic that we use to pick the target partition for the OS that you're deploying when you're refreshing an existing computer to a new operating system. That didn't get the answer right in 100% of the situations, so we have fixed that as well to make sure that we've added the necessary logic to do that. At the same time, we went through and did the same thing with Configuration Manager task sequences to make sure that we could have a single task sequence that could correctly determine the partition structure to be put in place based on the OS that's being deployed, or if you're refreshing an existing machine, that we target the right partition for the new OS. We've also added some additional logic to make sure that when you're doing user state migration that it won't fail and there are multiple partitions present. just a variety of little bugs that we've had to address for Beta 2. Now in Beta 2, there's additional functionality coming. We've already looked at one piece of it with the user-driven installation components. The new wizard designer lets you customize the wizard look and feel. The wizard itself has been rewritten. It is extensible now, so if you wanted to add in your own custom wizard panes, you could do that. Unfortunately, the mechanism for doing that is by writing C++ code that actually forms those wizard panes. So there's some sample code provided as part of MDT where you can customize that to compile additional wizard pane DLLs and then hook them into the process. So it's a better story compared to MDT 2010 Update 1, but still requires developer experience and expertise in order to do that customization. We also added in support for Windows RE so that we can implement a recovery environment running off of the hard drive of the system so that if your machine's not bootable for whatever reason, you can hit F8 or whatever key necessary to launch Windows RE and get you into that recovery environment so that you can fix the OS up. We've also integrated the Diagnostic and Recovery Toolkit, also called DART, which gives you a bunch of tools that are useful to really troubleshoot from within Windows PE what might be going wrong on a particular computer. Now, in a lot of cases, DART was positioned as a tool to be used as part of the recovery process, which explains why it includes recovery in the name. But from our perspective, it's just as useful for deployment purposes. Not just for troubleshooting, but with the new remote control capability that they added in DART 7, you can actually, from a server, remote control a client machine running DART even when it's still in Windows PE. So that's useful for monitoring any type of bare metal deployment that you might be doing. At the same time, we also added a new run PowerShell script action, which you can use in a light touch task sequence or in a config manager task sequence to say run this PowerShell script inside of the task sequence. And we've set that up to give it easy access to the task sequence environment, all the different task sequence variables that you might need to access, as well as to integrate it into the MDT and config manager logging, as well as the progress display that you would see inside of the task sequence itself. So if your PowerShell script tries to display progress information, you would see that show up in the task sequence progress UI. So let's take a look then at the DART integration. If we look at the server, and at the MDT workbench. Once we've integrated the DART components and look at the properties of the deployment chair, we have a new feature listed for Windows PE called Microsoft Diagnostic and Recovery Toolkit. Once we've checked that, that's all we really need to do to enable DART inside of an MDT boot image. Then when that machine boots up, when a computer boots up using that boot image, you see the option to run DART tools. From there, I can choose that option and see all of the different tools that are provided by DART, including a file explorer, so I can explore what's on the current disk. There's not too much there because I haven't yet formatted and partitioned this disk. I could look at the registry of the computer that might be on the machine. I can wipe the disk. There are just a variety of useful tools that you might want to use while in Windows PE to do some troubleshooting. The other integration then is for remote control. So now if I choose to run the deployment wizard, we can see down here that there's a little icon called remote connection. And if I expand that, I can see that it's listening for connections. If I then switch over to the server, actually let me go ahead and choose a task sequence here. Let's deploy, I don't know, Windows POS Ready 7. With all the defaults. So we'll start that deployment, and then from the server side, look at another new feature in MDT 2012 where we can see the status of all running task sequences. So we have a new monitoring node here that I've enabled on this deployment chair. So I can see now that I've just started a new deployment and it's 32% of the way through the steps in the task sequence. But if I look at this, there's a Dart remote control button, and if I click that, it knows how to make a connection to that Windows PE session. So from the server, I can see what's going on in the client, even as it continues to progress through the deployment. So there's the remote control window that I had opened up before. Now we can see that it's going through the Windows Pause Ready installation. So it's just like a normal remote desktop connection. I can connect from the server into whatever Windows PE session I want. At the same time, we've also added the ability to do a remote desktop connection. That wouldn't work if the operating system is currently Windows PE, but once it gets into the new OS, we could do that. And once it gets into the new OS, we would also know that this is a virtual machine. So if I look at one of these, there's an option for a VM connection. So we detect as part of the deployment, this is the name of the virtual machine, this is the name of the machine's host, and as a result, I can click the button and it would launch VM Connect to connect to that virtual machine. Now, this particular machine doesn't have VM Connect installed because I haven't put the Hyper-V administration tools on the machine, but if I did, it would launch VM Connect and make a connection to that machine. In this case, because I'm running from a virtual machine and it doesn't have access to the other virtual machines, it wouldn't work anyways. But if you were running in a situation where the host has access to the clients because they're sitting on the same network, then you could use something like this to have another mechanism for controlling that machine. So that can be useful. As far as the monitoring goes, we can see each of the deployments that I've run in my environment, where one of them must have failed somewhere along the lines because we haven't seen any status messages from it in over a day and 5 hours. So we can see that that one was unresponsive. We can see which ones have completed, and we can also see which ones are currently running. So that one's running 56% of the way through. The one that we just started is still in the install operating system step, 56% of the way through. So it just gives us a way from the server to be able to look at task sequences that are running in our environment. One of the other things that we've done is the normal mechanism that we used when we were doing light touch deployments is to set up auto log on. So once the computer logs on, it then resumes the task sequence with the whole desktop exposed. And one of the complaints that people had was that while the full desktop is exposed, people could interact with it and maybe launch regedit or local users and groups, add people into the administrators group or something along those lines. So they wanted the ability to hide the shell. So that was one of the options that we've added now. You can set a task sequence variable called hide shell, set that to yes, and as a result, instead of doing auto log on and then resuming the task sequence from the startup group, we set up a run registry key. That run key will then initiate the task sequence again before the shell is ever loaded, which makes the whole experience make it look like you never saw Explorer launch. We've also added improved logic to clean up after any failed task sequences. Even if you hold the power button down and turn off a computer during a task sequence, the next time you try to start it back up again, we'll see that something isn't right and prompt and ask, what do you want to do? Do you want to try to resume the task sequence that's currently sitting on the disk, or do you want to wipe it clean and start a new task sequence? So that should avoid some of the problems where you might have needed to manually clean the disk before you tried to run an additional task sequence. We already looked a little bit at the monitoring capabilities. At the same time, we've added the ability to deploy the Windows 8 developer preview. And as part of that, we've also added the ability to use the Windows 8 Automated Deployment Kit, the ADK, which is the replacement for the Windows AIK, the Windows Automated Installation Kit, that's used with Windows 7. So We've already looked at monitoring. We can skip over that one. Now let's look a little bit at Windows 8. So in this case, I have my deployment workbench. And in there, I have a whole bunch of operating systems. Down at the bottom of the list, I have a Windows 8 operating system, and I can easily deploy that by just choosing it as a normal task sequence. Now, on this particular computer, that's using the Windows AIK. You can use Windows AIK to deploy Windows 8 as well as deploying Windows 7. Or we could switch and use the Windows Automated Deployment Kit. So if I switch computers to my Windows 8 machine, I can launch MDT. And everything pretty much looks the same. I have my operating system here, the developer preview. I can then create a new task sequence. Using the standard template, choose the OS I want. If I am deploying the developer preview, I should specify a product key. I don't happen to have it nearby right now, so I'll skip that. But if you don't specify a product key when you're installing the developer preview, it won't enable the new shell experience. So you'll want to put in a product key to make that work. Otherwise, it's exactly the same as if I were deploying Windows 7. I can just put in the necessary details for the task sequence, and at that point, I'm ready to deploy. Now, if we were to look at the properties of the deployment chair, because this machine is running the ADK, the new deployment kit, there are additional feature packs available for Windows PE in this version. So we've gone through and discovered what those feature packs are. Some of them you recognize as being the same as before, the language packs, the data access components, the PPPoE, RNDIS, those are standard ones from before, but some of the other things that have been added are .NET Framework 4, Windows PowerShell 3.0, some additional iSCSI commandlets, enhanced storage commandlets, lots of additional feature packs being added into Windows PE to give you more capabilities before the operating system has been installed. So at that point, I could right-click and choose to update the deployment chair. That would generate the boot images using the new version of Windows PE, the Windows 8 version, and I could do my deployment from there. If we were to look at a client machine, here's one that I deployed earlier. Now, if we look around, we can see that the task sequence is finished, but there's no start button, there's no desktop exposed here, just a black screen. We can see that the task sequence was completed successfully. If we click on Finish, we can then see the desktop. Now, the other thing that we talked about was PowerShell support. So if I switch back over to my server and look at the task sequences, I can set up a task sequence that contains a run PowerShell script action, which is fairly easy to add just by saying run PowerShell script. And all I really need to specify then is, well, what script do I want to run? So maybe I have a script called PowerShellTest.ps1. As long as that script is available someplace that we can find it, either in a package, in the MDT toolkit files, in a System32 folder, wherever it happens to be, we'll find it and execute it and allow it to interact with the task sequence environment. That could be in a standalone task sequence like that, or it could also be added into an OS deployment task sequence. So it's fairly easy to add it in at any point along the way. The main requirement, though, is that it has the necessary PowerShell runtime already installed, which also requires .NET. At this point, we don't make use of this step in the standard MDT task sequences. This is only a custom step that you could add into your own task sequences because we don't yet have any features in MDT that are dependent on using PowerShell. We think as we get farther down the road of integrating Windows 8 support into MDT and the future versions of MDT after MDT 2012, that we may start to use PowerShell, but that would be for capabilities that are being built specifically for Windows 8, where PowerShell and .NET Framework are there by default. We didn't want to move to this en masse for MDT overall because we don't want to require that you deploy PowerShell and .NET just so that you can run an OS deployment. So at this point, most of MDT, well, all of MDT on the client side still uses VBScript. But as we move into the future, PowerShell is more than likely going to creep into that process. On the config manager side, we could do the same thing. So if we edit one of these task sequences, we could modify it and add in a step to do the exact same thing, to run a PowerShell script, and again specify the name of the script, and if that's in a particular config manager package, we could choose what package that should make use of. Okay. Now the initial deployment that we started a while back is just about finished. It's going through the final steps of the installation. The other deployments are still running along as well. So that's at a glance kind of the quick overview of MDT 2012. There are some additional capabilities that we're hoping to be able to get in since we have additional time now between MDT 2012 Beta 2, which will ship hopefully this week, and the RC that will be coming in the January-February timeframe. But most of that functionality is expected to be around Windows 8. So what can we add in to provide additional support for Windows 8 scenarios? What we do today with Windows 8 is basically just a simple bare metal deployment. If you wanted to do a refresh using USMT or something like that, those are scenarios that we don't yet support. So those would be the things that we would look to add between Beta 2 and RC. That is pretty much it. That's what I wanted to go through. I think we've got a little bit of extra time. So it seems like every time I go through this, I get a little faster at it. If there are any questions about MDT 2012, be sure to come up and ask them. I'll also be present at the Hall 17 Expo floor for a while after the session, so be sure to find me there and ask any additional questions that you may have about MDT. Otherwise, be sure to download the beta from the Connect website. If you haven't yet signed up, you can go to Microsoft, or you can go to connect.microsoft.com, sign up for the Microsoft deployment connection, and get access to the beta builds through that. We'll also post some blog entries on that when that beta actually goes out to point everyone to that. Download it, submit any feedback on any issues that you run into or any suggestions that you have for improvements, and just continue to test it out as we move forward to the eventual release sometime in the first half of 2012. So thanks a lot. Hopefully that was a useful overview for you, and you can take a look at the beta 2 when it comes out here very shortly and make use of that inside of your environment. So thanks.